Welcome to Faith Walking Conversations. In this episode, Marcos León and a group of faith walkers share a time of meditation and learning about practices that can nurture your soul. This week, they focus on the topic Rhythms of Sabbath, Ceasing. This conversation was originally recorded in July of 2020. We want to remind you that Faith Walking's mission is to make wholeness possible for individuals, communities, and the world. Visit us at www.faithwalking.us. Join this conversation. I'm gonna look twice at you until I see the Christ in you. I'm gonna look twice at you. Our topic today is rhythms of Sabbath. And we start with the first rhythm, that is ceasing. I have to admit that this is pretty exciting, as I have been learning personally this. I think I'm going to be learning about Sabbath the rest of my life. I have to tell you that is not my strength. Once and again, I have been convicted of the need of learning to take better care of my soul regarding Sabbath. And in this occasion, this invitation to study again Sabbath came out of this passage of Julian of Norwich. I was reading a few weeks ago when I was on vacation. This has been in my mind since then. And Julian, who is considered one of the doctors of the church, right, and one of those mystics, she writes this, and that caught my heart in a very specific way. She says that we seek rest where there is no rest, and therefore we are uneasy. God is the true rest who wants to be known. God finds pleasure in being our true resting place. I cannot tell you how many times I read and reread and came back in my mind to these simple and beautiful, for me, ideas that so much describe me and so much describe, I think, a longing of my soul. And the description of me is the one who is seeking rest where there is no rest. You might have been there, but seeking rest in places, in activities or no activities. You know, I always make this distinction of activities are life-giving and not life-giving, and rest can be life-giving or not life-giving. And I am the one who gets confused every time and is trying to seek rest where there is no rest, in places at the end of the day they can be more tired. And the longing of the affirmation. I think that mystics especially, they do this very well. They bear witness of something that doesn't have a way to be expressed, but by those who come, kind of raise their hands and they bear witness about the need. You know, God is the true rest. Yeah, something in me responds, yes, I somehow know that, but I don't know how to get there. This beautiful idea that God finds pleasure in becoming my resting place. That has been in my mind and somehow is what I would like to share some of my thoughts about this. To give a context, a scripture context about the invitation for Sabbath or for rest, you have several places, and this is not like a Bible study of Sabbath or resting, but I just chose two passages that are significant for me, meaningful for me in the sense of this invitation of God. So one passage in the Old Testament, prophet Isaiah, he writes, "This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, only in returning to me and resting in me would you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. but you will have none of it. Oh my gosh. So convicting, so real. Quietness and confidence. It is this kind of upside down reality of the invitation of God to us many times. In quietness and resting and confidence in the Lord, it is our strength. And then the beautiful passage of Matthew, this is Jesus, New Testament. Jesus' invitation rings true for you and for me. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How much I am present to the longing of my soul for that. I think that is the invitation, right? So let me give you some of the thoughts about resting as a practice, you know, especially in this season. I have to admit that in this season of pandemic anxiety and restlessness, we don't know how long, uncertainty, we don't know how long this is going to take, and all this stuff that is going on. And here we are in cycles. We think that we have gone through it and we have to come back to it, and we think that we are doing better and we are not. What can give us renewal? I believe it's God, and I believe Sabbath is one of those things and those practices. So the rhythms of Sabbath, I mean, these are thoughts that come from a book that has influenced me in my learning of Sabbath. The book is Keeping the Sabbath Holy by Marva Dawn. You can look at it. She does a great job of expressing these rhythms and in a very very good way, with a lot of good foundations theologically and stories. So she talks about these four rhythms, and I hope during these next 4 weeks, starting this one, we will be able to explore this, you know, and probably stir something in your minds and in your hearts and have a good conversation about Sabbath. The first rhythm that she talks about is ceasing. We're going to talk about that today. But it's great to see them in context, right? It's not the only rhythm. Then there's a rhythm of resting. And the truth is that we cannot rest until we cease, right? Sounds so basic that sometimes we need a reminder. And then when we rest, we can really embrace. When we can really embrace something, we can actually feast and celebrate something. So let's start with the ceasing rhythm. A few thoughts. And this is a quote from Marva Dawn. A great benefit of Sabbath keeping is that we learn to let God take care of us, not by becoming passive and lazy, but in the freedom of giving up our feeble attempts to be God in our own lives. I find myself reflected in that. How hard it is for some of us, I'm one of those, how hard it is to let anybody else to take care of us. You know, my wife always complains of me. Even when I'm sick, I don't let her take care of me. And yes, some of these things come from first formation and good stuff that we learn in faith walking. But I believe that there is also this essence of control. And, you know, I like how Marva Dawn puts this, trying to be God in my own life. And it's not that I wake up at 5 a.m. pretending to be God to myself, but this is ingrained in me. And just this idea of Sabbath being a ceasing of that is helpful for me, right? Because it's not about just stopping something, but external or an effort, a physical effort, is about inviting God to help me stop something that is internal. So ceasing. Marva, in her book, invites us to cease a few things. I'm going to mention The first one is work. Sabbath is an invitation to cease our work. And probably that is also understandable. And say, yes, we have to stop working. But you know, the idea of thinking that there are rhythms, right? Rhythms, like nature has rhythms, our bodies have rhythms, our spiritual journey has rhythms. And sometimes we don't respect rhythms because we don't recognize them. So far from being a legalistic approach to stop, right? Don't work. This is the law, kind of the Pharisees in the time of Jesus. This is an invitation to stop for the sake of God. We don't stop for the sake of anything, but we start there. We do it for the sake of God. And this is a declaration of faith. You know, we stop because we can trust that God holds us. He sustains us in our stopping, right? And it's also a declaration that honors God because we do it for the sake of God, for the love of God, for the invitation of God. And this blesses us. It is good to think in that distinction, right, of work and life-giving activities. So the Pharisees will be very legalistic of how many steps can you walk on the Sabbath day, right? And I like the approach of what is work and what kind of activity do I do to labor, to accomplish, to gain something? And to think of another activity that is life-giving activity. I have had an amazing experience learning to do things as to engage in some kind of activity on Sabbath, like building stuff with wood or taking care of a garden. Believe it or not, I love all the things of mowing the lawn and planting trees and all that things become life-giving. You can make a point that I'm trying to accomplish something, but it's really not. It is more the experience of doing something for the sake of joy, if I can tell you. Right? And I believe that's a good distinction. I'm doing something for the sake of something else, or I'm doing something for the sake of joy. Life-giving, freeing, and activities that are not undertaken with the purpose of accomplishment. That's a good distinction. So Sabbath is not just not doing, it's ceasing work that seeks to accomplish something. And there is a need for preparation, you know. I always say that at the end of the day, we need to eat, right? Things need to be clean. Somebody has to keep things going on. So there is a great benefit in thinking of the ceasing of work as a practice that requires a discipline of preparation. What does it mean for me to prepare so I won't work during those days? And let me tell you now, especially working from home and everything is virtual, it seems so easy to violate Sabbath, right? It's just one phone call. It is just one meeting, right? It is just one email. But that is where this discipline, not legalistic, but for the sake of God. So that is the first part, ceasing work. Let's continue because there's a lot more than this. A ceasing of productivity, or I will put of the need of productivity and accomplishment, right? And this goes deeper. I relate with this. It is a freedom from an idol of accomplishing or not accomplishing. So it might be that I am addicted, and that's me, addicted to accomplish things. I am addicted to scratch lines in my to-do list. I'm addicted to get things done. And let me tell you, this is a harsh idol, because eventually the task becomes more important than the person. And suddenly the task that had a purpose to honor God becoming an idol on itself. And I say this without judgment of condemnation. But that might be one side. The other side might be, oh my gosh, I never do anything. I need to accomplish something because I don't do anything, or I'm nothing. In one way or another, if you can speak to this need of productivity and accomplishment, slow down. See you after Sabbath, whatever that means, right? It's a radical invitation to change our attitude and embrace a true identity. We are loved not by our accomplishments. We are actually love by grace, not by what we do. So it is a great perspective of ceasing. Another thing to see is anxiety, worry, and tension. How to see Sabbath as the day when you say, you know, I'm going to give a break to all my anxious muscles of anxiety, right? Of my worry about tomorrow. What if I take a break? The intentional pause and the intentional release of anxiety. You know, and to do this, and I think faith walking is helpful from the perspective of we need practices, right? How many of us are able to say, okay, I'm not going to worry. We cannot stop worrying. So there are practices that help to cease, prepare for ceasing. If you think of Sabbath, how beautiful is to think, even before Sabbath, just to journal what is bringing anxiety to my soul. So you can name the beast, you know, in a way. Okay, these are my fears. I'm going to write them in a piece of paper, and I'm going to close that piece of paper because I enter in Sabbath. And I can worry about that next, after Sabbath, right? I like the quote. This is Marva again. Sabbath is not a running away from problems, but the opportunity to receive grace to face them. And you know that the opportunity to receive grace is not a direct thinking and fixing the problems. Have you been in those situations in which suddenly you decide to trust God and it seems so irresponsible? But in that rest that you take, somehow the solution to your problem comes. There are so many stories that are like that. But ceasing also, Sabbath is ceasing about trying to be God. And that is more specific than we read before. Trying to be God is trying to be in control. It's trusting that God will provide. You know, in the book, there is this great example of Exodus, you know, and gathering manna before the Sabbath day, right? And you gather more, or you know, how do we trust that God is going to provide more? It's kind of a reenactment of our efforts versus God's efforts for provision. And it's not only provision, but it's also security. It is meaning. It is affection. In all these needs that my soul has, can I trust that for one day I'm not really going to do anything, but I'm going to trust that God's going to provide what is needed? A major blessing of Sabbath keeping is that it forces us to rely on God for our future. One day we do nothing to create our own way. It's one day, I'm sorry. The result is that we can let God be God in our lives. So that is the idea of ceasing to try to create our own destiny, to be the captains of our own souls. And just relax and be humble in the essence of our true identity. A few more thoughts. Ceasing of our possessiveness. Ceasing of our tendency to possess things. You know, now even with me, I have noticed this in my soul. I see a beautiful, beautiful sunset or sun rays that usually speak to my soul. And because I have a cellular phone or an intelligent, I need to capture that. And there's no judgment in my thing, but in my mind, but you know what? As I have this need to possess that moment, to keep that moment kind of control, to capture that moment, to make it mine and show it to other people. Look how beautiful, or whatever it is, right? It is embedded in this desire. We relate sometimes with nature and with beauty in a way that is possessive. We want it for ourselves. And I'm not judging, again. I'm just inviting you to recognize the movements of your own soul in the need of Sabbath. So Sabbath is the invitation to let go of this possessiveness. Right? More than an instruction not to buy or to sell, this is an invitation to focus on what God wants instead of what I want. Right? Instead of I want this for me, what about staying in that moment of that beautiful sunset and say, this is it. It's going to pass with time. It will pass and will never be captured, and it will forever be captured in the center of my heart because it's a moment with God. And you see, it takes you to a very different places. Freedom from the slavery of our own desires. Isaiah 58. I'm sorry, it's not Isaiah, it's Psalm 58. It's Isaiah. Oh my gosh, I'm all confused today. Isaiah 58, the scripture that talks about Sabbath. And it's a hard scripture, but it invites us to let go our possessiveness, not just to stop externally, but actually to stop internally those cycles of selfishness and self-referential aspects of our lives. Another invitation to cease on Sabbath is a cease of an enculturation. You know, the fact that, you know, what do we do in Sabbath? How we affirm the true identity, the true culture that we have. Akad Ham, I don't know really how to pronounce his name. He is a Jewish scholar, and he writes this about Sabbath and the Exodus. He says, we can affirm without any exaggeration that the Sabbath has preserved the Jews more than the Jews have preserved the Sabbath. If the Sabbath had not restored to them the soul, renewing every week their spiritual life, they will have become so degraded by the depressing experiences of the work days that they will have descended to the last step of materialism and of moral and intellectual decadence. What a perspective. So we do this, for me that redeems it, all this idea of liturgy and rhythms and why do we do things? We don't do things because we have to be legalistic. This is, Sabbath is made for men, not men for Sabbath. Says Jesus, right? But you know, when we do Sabbath, we remember. I say it this way, remember who we really are. Loved and dependent on God. On a God who is for us and provide for us. And if we don't do that, and we only look a Sabbath for a time of rest or relax or whatever, we're going to fall right there in whatever culture is selling. Like, again, I'm not judging, but that is not the purpose of Sabbath. That is one of the keys aspects for my soul, at least in me trying to find rest when there is no rest. I have to repeat myself, Marcos, there is no rest in Netflix. Marcos, there is no rest in social media or all the places where I have entertained myself, seeking for something that they cannot. And I love movies, and I love Netflix, and I think social media is great too. But do you see what I'm talking about? My soul is seeking for something that is real, beyond all these other things that we have put as the food for our souls. Finally, ceasing Sabbath is an invitation to cease humdrum and meaninglessness. So this is a great perspective too. So this is not about a dull day, right? Sabbath, okay, boring. What do we do? I can think of young people especially thinking of Sabbath and say, I cannot do anything of the things that I really like, right? Actually, I have a beautiful picture that somebody that I know is a spiritual director. She has teenager kids, and she was just talking about Sabbath, how they have been intentional to make Sabbath a family reality, a joyful thing, a real feasting, good food and good time, quality time, like a good book or a bad movie, what you want, something like that, right? And she talks about her son, you know, teenager, 16 or 17, you know, going through the stairs all noisy and say, oh, how much I love Sabbath. And that's a picture for me. Say, it is possible. It is possible to kind of redeem this idea of Sabbath, not a dull day when we are bored or something, but a day for the sake of life. Abraham Heschel says, Sabbath is a day for the sake of life. You know, what does it mean? So the perspective that is helpful here is to think of Sabbath not as a rest that prepares somehow for the labor of the rest of the day. This is not about, just rest to be able to work next week. This is just the opposite, right? This is a day in which our destiny is fulfilled and reenacted. We were made to enter in the Sabbath of the Lord, right? This I quote this scripture, Hebrews 4, 9 and 10. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his work as God did from his. And the idea, the echo, the invitation is this kingdom of God, this second coming, this hope that we have that we will enter to a Sabbath that is going to be permanent and fulfilled. Ah, my soul longs for that. Right? So what if I, instead of saying, okay, a day to take a break so I can, get my strength to keep working, what if I see Sabbath as the reenactment of places, reenactment of my identity, and I can see life as a promise. I can see future as a destiny where God is in control. Anyway, so let me just finish with this, okay? I'm going to do a super quick connection between this and what I will say we learn in faith walking. I'm not trying to integrate or to sell faith walking in any way, but I believe that we're talking about the same thing, right? When we talk about integrity in faith walking, we talk about coming back to God's design, aligning ourselves with God, functioning according to the design that God gave us. And God gave us a design, I believe, in which Sabbath is part of that rhythm. And remember, Sabbath not as a law, not as a legalistic, but all this space of renewal that really gives rest. So when I practice Sabbath, I'm functioning according to the design of God. I'm coming back to this place where I remember actually who I am. What is my identity? Boundaries. Talk about emotional and spiritual maturity. We talk about boundaries, healthy boundaries, healthy recognition of our limits. There's humility. And believe me, with humility, or when we are in humility, we're in a good space. We are not super machines, super people. We have devices that try to make us super people, right? We can, and I love devices, by the way, but overconnected, overproductive, we can do all things at the same time. But we have limits, and that's a humble recognition that comes in Sabbath. And actually, we celebrate those limits, because in the limits, we can define who we are and remember who we are. And finally, a disconnection of Sabbath and the reflective life. I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm going to just be in silent and solitude all Sabbath. No. But life becomes a space. Sabbath becomes a space in which I can explore connection, community, intimacy with God. One of my favorite stories, finish with this, of Sabbath is this practice that I had for a season. I am not doing it anymore, in which I will seek to think of people who have invested in me, people who have been in my heart. And in Sabbath, I take time to write a little card expressing and saying, I love you, or whatever version of that, expressing my love and my admiration and sending that, because it is really in my heart. How many times pass when I have had these ideas of this desire to say I love you or I admire you or I'm thinking of you, and I never do it sometimes because one thing comes to another and then is in the past. So reflective life is not only intimacy and realigning with God, but also with the people of God. And probably we will explore more of that in the next weeks. Finish with this. Walter Brueggemann, I love him. Sabbath is not simply the pause that refreshes, It is the pause that transforms. You and I are invited to that. So I'm going to stop right there. That is about ceasing. And that is one rhythm of Sabbath. So love to hear your comments. What is this thing in you? What are you present to? Unmute and share.
I really enjoy the idea of ceasing, and it's something that God has been speaking to me about for a very long time. It's easy for me to fall into that productivity trap, like you talked about earlier, of feeling like I always need to be doing something. Everything has to have purpose. You know, there's always something to do. And so, always wanting to find something to do. And he's been ministering about that for years, and I've come a long way, but I still see myself sometimes falling in that. Are restful, but they're actually kind of work. I think, oh, I'll do something around the house, not in the kids. They're like, well, why don't you relax? And I'm like, oh, this is relaxing. Like yard work is relaxing, but I don't know. So I have to be mindful of that. But recently God has, I work a few different part-time jobs, and one of them has said for the past couple weeks that they don't need me to come in. And fortunately, that's not a financial hardship for me. But I think that's like God's way of kind of making me rest, because I was starting to get a little bit overwhelmed. But it's hard for me to always recognize that and take a step back. So I kind of shared that when I was in the group earlier, and even just thinking of in Psalm 23, where, you know, I like the language where it says like, he leads me, still waters, but then it says he makes me lie down in green pastures. And like, if you're being led, you know, you're more of a willing participant, but then like, he makes me lie down. And I think I'm thankful that the Lord in his kindness sometimes like makes me lie down and is like, okay, I tried to lead you to the green pastures, but you weren't cooperative. So now I'm making you lie down there, because sometimes that's what I need.
Thank you, Laura. How beautiful picture of love, isn't it? You know, is the invitation to cease, not for the sake of anything, and for the sake of love. You know, you need that. I know that you need that. I can think of my kids when they are very, very tired, right? No, they think that they need so many things, but no, I know what you need. You need to rest, right? I believe God is like that with me. And another thought that came out of what you say is how the idea of ceasing out of the context of this invitation of God seems so dangerous, some anxious producing, some countercultural to cease, stop. You know, like the world is going to end. You know, we're not going to have enough. Probably for many of us, that's the case. I think so. That's culture, right? Culture, and again, there's no judgment in my words, but culture has formed us into production and doing. We are what we do, right? What we produce. And ceasing seems like, so it takes intentionality. It takes some tension to learn to cease. Thank you, Lara.
Marcos, is there when it comes to ceasing, and just, I know a lot of people just have different rhythms. Some people say yes to hanging out with friends and family. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that you people make up their general rules. Is there an internal or external marker that you've adopted that would kind of help you align what you say yes to and what you say no to when it comes to those things?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ryan. It's a great question. I love how you asked the internal marker, marker. I think that that is probably my answer. The marker, I think there is a marker, and I think it is internal. And what I mean internal, this is not about introspection. It is the learning and the awareness to sense the nuances of my soul and trusting that guidance of my soul. And I believe it's of God in my soul. Dallas Willard does a great job inviting us to pay attention to the movement of God in our soul. And the marker for me is usually the motive. Why? What is inviting me to do this? I say it this way, Ryan. Who is wanting to connect and do it, or say yes or say no? I usually say, is my true self? Is true self saying yes? This is love. Yes, this is healing on Sabbath. Yes, of course. Of course I want to heal you. You know, Jesus in saying healing on Sabbath. Or is this false self saying, oh my gosh, if I heal on Sabbath, I'm going to look really good. Just as an example. I don't know if that is helpful for you, Ryan, but the internal marker is this internal sense and noticing of my own soul. Who is wanting to say yes and who is wanting to say no?
Yeah, that true and false self saying yes or no is very helpful. Yeah, it's good. Thank you.
You're welcome. And something that is important to me that is, I don't believe, and this is probably just me, I don't believe that there is a format for Sabbath that fits all in the same of logistics, right? Your work, my work, the day that you do it, how you do it, family, no family, single, you know, is a whole different thing. And I believe it's beautiful because it causes creativity. It calls for this communion with God and, in my case, with my wife, to say, this is what we want. We want to do this in our life. We want to have this in our life. We want to honor God. We want to love each other well. We want to live well in a good sense. How can we do this? And it has gone for me to even create recipes, you know, a simple way of me cooking, you know, a meal that is not something that requires a lot of work. And I've been surprised by God in this kind of research. I was like, well, how can I do this? You know, I have these ideas. And suddenly I try something and it has been so delicious. So delicious that I feel like God is saying, yeah, sit me into this. It becomes really a feasting about that. So who do we want to engage with? Do we want to have people at home? Yes, sometimes. Again, internal marker. Is this from God? Is this for me? Is this social, whatever, social needs? Or is this an invitation of God to have my neighbors? Or anyway, just expanding a little bit on that. So what else?
It's interesting to me how God works in my life, because I was just literally talking to Ryan about this, about how once the school year starts and the ball of life starts rolling, I feel like I start with a full bucket for about the first 3 days. and then the rest of the year, I just spend trying really hard to fill up that bucket again. So this really speaks to me, and I'm hopeful that maybe throughout the school year, I'll be able to use this Sabbath idea to replenish so that I'm not constantly looking for other ways to fill the bucket. And, you know, I know how to fill ultimately with, you know, the life-giving water. It's just that in the busyness of life, just, you know, the cycle rolls. So I'm thankful.
Maybe so, Chris. May the Lord grant that for you this year. What else? Any other comments?
I just really appreciate what's been shared so far. Especially Ryan, your question about, you know, what are those internal markers, that really spoke to me a lot. And I was thinking in my own mind, in my own heart, a lot of it is, I think you mentioned in the notes, is recognizing that which is, that which gives me life, those things that are energize me and give me life. But Marcus, when you were responding to his question or his sharing, I heard you say, I don't know in specific words or generality, but it was saying yes to love. It was, I don't know, that just caught my attention, just saying yes to love and how that's tied to our true selves. It just give me a lot of things to think about. Really enjoy that.
Thank you, Trish. In a way, of all of our lives is a whole practice of saying yes to love. So.
Yes, this really resonated with me. I have found since I've been retired, which was 3 years ago, and also during this pandemic circumstance, more opportunities to enter into this kind of space. Which has been really good. I guess I have a question because I can see approaching this as an attitude of the heart. And seeking times to have this kind of experience throughout the days and the weeks. Leaning into it more from the scriptural perspective of a day. So I'm just wondering if you have any comments about any of that.
Yeah, so beautiful question. Because it is indeed a real aspect of it. So is this a day, right, or it is a moment? I hear your questions in this aspect. So I believe that, I think that it is both. And probably my answer might be not completely helpful for you, but I believe it is both. I believe there is something about the day that requires an extra time of preparation, an extra intentionality, and extra planning. And if you know with your family, that it requires that you reconnect with them and talk about all of this stuff, right? And that creates, I can tell you how in my family with little kids, that becomes an experience that is very, very special and very formative for now. And I also believe that there is a moment or there are seasons. Even I could invite you to consider Sabbath as a season of life. So, you know, actually that is very biblical, right? The Jubilee, and you have this Sabbath. It's not only a day, but it's the count of seven times. And then you have sabbatical and all that stuff. But you can reduce that. You can expand that and you can reduce that to the reality of just, a moment in your day. So Ken Schumann, for example, he talks a lot about how he practices Sabbath every time that he takes a walk, you know, kind of a mile walk. And that during that moment, intentionally, he disconnects and he ceases from other things. He's walking, he's engaging in an activity that is life-giving, but his soul goes to a Sabbath. And I believe that that is completely good and real. And we need to learn to do that. I believe that people like the mystics or you know, that we keep learning about them, they bear witness of these moments. They don't talk about that, you know, only in Sabbath. They talk about a life in which all those little boundaries and divisions get blurred. right? And they have an experience of living with God, living in the entering in that resting place all the time. Make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. We're about time. I leave you with these couple thoughts. I think that one of the things of Sabbath is that even though we understand somehow intellectually, you know, we get it and we want, and we know somehow that also we need it, we don't know how to do it. Really, it's as simple as that. So practice is what transforms. You know, that is the first invitation. And learning the best way in the most simple way that you can. The second idea that I leave you is this idea of rhythms of Sabbath, rhythms of resting, rhythms of silence. You know, even when we are in silence, that's, I have to admit, in many cases, my experience, as we practice before starting this conversation, and I go to that silence, for me, that is an entering into this place of ceasing. Well, and I am very aware when I am able to cease and I'm not. It's just still running inside of me. And there's no judgment. There's no condemnation. The love of God is not at stake. This is not about perfect style. This is about practicing. And as we practice and I keep walking into this, we kind of feel and sense our way into it. So rhythms and practice, you know. And God finds pleasure in being known as a true resting place. You know, Julian of Norwich is very helpful with that. Here I am, Lord. I don't know how to rest. I don't know how to come. I don't know how to come to you. I don't even know how to rest if you cannot help me. Would you help me? Would you become my resting place? And if that becomes a nap, praise God. Okay. And if that becomes jogging, that it is a genuine heart that is genuinely seeking to find rest in God. And I keep quoting Julian, God finds pleasure in meeting us in that place. So thank you. Thank you all for your participation. Let me very briefly leave us with our blessing. Anybody else? Something? Somebody is dying to say something before we close? No. Okay. Well, this is our blessing. We'll close our time with this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Thank you. For more information about Faith Walking, visit www.faithwalking.us. We want to remind you that Faith Walking exists because of your financial support. Please consider giving at faithwalking.us/donate. Thank you for listening. Until I see the Christ in you, till I'm looking through the eyes of love, till I'm looking through the eyes